Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Today, our studios are here in Las Vegas. Welcome on in. Our coverage here in Vegas of the Pac-12 tournament. Arizona State in action today, U of A in action tonight. Our coverage is brought to you by the good people, Columbus Craft Meats. Appreciate Columbus Craft Meats being a part of our coverage. Leading the way, that's Columbus Craft Meats and J.P. Patchett. Appreciate their support. All right. We're going to have Goody at the Movies. We're going to move Goody up today to 10:20. We'll talk with Bill on our Thursday segment. He has seen Kong, if this is any good or not. There's been a lot of pub around Kong, which comes out this weekend. I've seen a lot of movies with apes and other ones that ain't good or not. We'll talk about a couple other movies with Bill. And then Ray Anderson's going to be with us. I ran into Ray yesterday, the athletic director at Arizona State, as they had a nice win. It was a very impressive win, actually, by Bobby Hurley. Realize this, ASU has only won the first round of the tournament three times since 2002. Three times since 2002. More often than not, they get on the plane, they go home. They come here, they get smacked around, and that's just the way it goes. That's not good. So I talked with Ray, and there's some things going on. The athletic department is bringing Danny White on board. I want to talk to him about that. And we're going to talk about U of A as well and their matchup with Colorado tonight. This one's pretty simple, I think. So Oregon against ASU, if Oregon hits their outside shots with Dylan Brooks and Dorsey and Casey Benson, then ASU is going to lose. You know, that's just how it is. But I like the fact that Arizona State's playing the number one seed here in the tournament. They're playing a team that has the potential to be a top seed in the NCAAs, which I don't think that's going to happen. I do think it's still going to be Gonzaga. You know, UCLA and U of A both could make the argument that if the winner of that game tomorrow night, assuming both do win, and I think they both will, assuming they both win, and move on, and then they would beat Oregon. You could make the argument that the winner would have a more impressive resume, top to bottom, than Gonzaga. But I still think the Zags are going to get the number one seed. I just think there's too much momentum and that they've been consistent throughout the entire season. So, you know, yesterday, let's go back on yesterday. It was just a weird game for ASU. And we'll talk about Calais leaving. We'll talk about Tony Jefferson and all the NFL free agent stuff a little bit later in the show. But I want to focus on what happened yesterday. So ASU scored 98 points. They win the game in overtime. They score 96 of the 98 points from their starters. Think about that. You've got a basketball team. You're trying to compete in Division I. And you have no bench. You have no offense. And 96 of your 98 points come from your starting five. That's just stunning. And they're still not the most disciplined team to see. That's what struck me yesterday. There are things like they've got the ball. They're up 8. There's 6 minutes to go in the game. And they jack up a 3 with 20 seconds to go on the shot clock. It's just a bad shot. It's a paint chipper or a glass chipper. They're not the most disciplined. But they find a way to win. And when you go through the box score, just the box score, and you're Bobby Hurley, and you look at what your team was able to do here in round one to beat Stanford, and now today have a showdown with the number one seed in Oregon, a team that ASU, by the way, barely lost to earlier this season. It's just stunning. I asked Bobby after the game was over in the press conference setting about the box score and the fact that 96 of his 98 points comes from the starting five. Here's Coach Hurley yesterday.
Your box scores, do you ever look at your box scores? You mentioned 96, 98 points from the starters. Do you ever look at your box scores afterwards and say, how are we doing this?
Not really, because those five guys are as fit as any five players in the country, probably. They share the ball. They're unselfish. The shot distribution is very good between the five guys. And then we got good minutes. Out of Andre Adams and Ramon Villa tonight. Didn't result in points, but it did in post defense against Travis, rebounding, especially Andre late in the game. I thought made some plays on defense that helped us. So, you know, they're going to have to do, you know, similar type minutes moving forward and contribute, and they're ready to do that.
All right, Coach.
So, So talking about the significant minutes from the bigs and moving forward. So Oregon today, this game gets started at 1 o'clock back in Arizona, noon here. And as you can see behind me, there's no one here at the T-Mobile Arena yet for this game. I'm assuming it's going to be, I don't know, 90% Oregon fans. Like this is the usual U of A convention. Last night I noticed, I was out on the strip, and I noticed that that the U of A contingent was up here, and that's usually the case. Arizona has the best amount of fan support. Yesterday's game against Stanford was one of those where you could, I call them shoe squeakers, or I joke about introducing the fans before the players. Shoe squeaker meaning every pass you can hear them moving because there's no fans there, okay? And that's just where the two programs are. It doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. But they're going to have what I would term a hostile crowd tonight, a crowd that's very supportive of Oregon. ASU had to go into overtime yesterday and exert a lot of energy. On paper, this should not be a game. However, when these two teams played one another up in Eugene, this was a game where Oregon did not shoot the ball especially well, and Dylan Brooks had to rescue them late in the game. I think ASU's guards are better now than they were early in the season. Yesterday, getting some minutes inside, even though you didn't get points, there were rebounds and some fouls that were used up. And I just have to tell you, I don't know how ASU is going to keep Bobby Hurley here long term. And I don't mean that in some sort of cryptic way. Like yesterday we were talking about it and I wrote about it. And I had some people in the media back in the Valley, are you hearing that Hurley's leaving? No, I'm not hearing Hurley's leaving today. You know, what I am seeing is he is the first one that has really made a difference. Herb Sendek came in and he brought James Harden in, but James was going to be here and gone. That was it. He was a one and done or two guy. You know, he wasn't going to be here very long. And so what I see here is their guards return next season intact. The big three in particular, you know, Holder and Evans and Cody Justice. That's a pretty good threesome in which to build around. Now, can you find some bigs inside? And I think they've got those in the pipeline. You can say all day long, I was sitting with some recruiting guys yesterday, and yeah, this kid can't play, and this kid can really play, and so on and so forth. All that stuff's just noise. Now, Bobby's getting by with Torian Graham, who puts up shots that I wouldn't highly advise, and he's been a nice fill-in guy, and he's going to get out of ASU and move on in his career, and I think he'll have a chance to play overseas. Well, Beno Oleka yesterday had a double-double. You know, that's about what you expect out of these guys. This is not a great team, and this is not about 2017. Of course, I get U of A nitwit who thinks, oh, you're just hating on us. I don't care. Like, in U of A's case, there's the expectation level is completely different. There's no way they should lose to Colorado tonight. There's not a chance. And yet, if they do, then fans have every right to be upset with Sean Miller. That just should not happen in your first game of the tournament. And tomorrow night when they play UCLA, one of those two teams is going to come out of there with a loss. And if it's U of A, those fans are over the top. I was sitting behind Sean Miller's bench last week against ASU hearing fans saying, get your act together, Sean, or you're going to be home after the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I think in U of A's case, their size and can they be consistent? That was interesting just over on U of A's side with Colorado tonight. Sean didn't start Ristic the second half against ASU. He went smaller and had Markkanen out there and went with some of his younger players. They don't have to use the two bigs, but they should win tonight. They really should. Colorado is not a team that should scare anybody. So, you know, I think the two games are interesting in style. I could sit here all day long and say, yeah, you know, ASU's got to keep it close and ASU's got to do this. ASU, no, you know, if they play as hard as they did yesterday, if they have any energy left in the tank after an extremely hard-fought game, I think they can be in this game. They were earlier this year. The wise guys in Vegas have it at 14. And I got to talk about that, wise guys with Vegas. I was on a show yesterday. Eric, you didn't get the whole details on what happened yesterday after our show.
No.
Other than I was on, I ran into Jimmy Vaccaro, and Jimmy's got his own thing going with Brent Musburger up here. And so I was talking to Jimmy in the sports book over at the South Point, and he said, hey, why don't you meet this guy? And this guy is Brent Musburger's brother, who's in charge of all the business operation stuff. The next thing I know, I'm on the air. They put me in studio.
Ooh.
And the show's on. Yeah, I know. And the show's on Sirius, and they've just got a big thing going, big platform going. Really interesting stuff. And they want me to come back by there today, and I'm supposed to meet Brent today and all that stuff. So we'll see. It's interesting what they've got up here. It's a cool concept.
So is it like a gambling show?
So it's point spreads and gambling, but they also want just content. You know, a guy like me can sit there yesterday and say, here's what I saw at the Pac-12 tournament.
Yep.
Here's what I liked. Here's what I didn't like. Hey, guys, here's some things to look at. And I had no idea. I just sat down, and there's two other gentlemen and myself and a staff of like 9. It's some people that texted me that heard me on Sirius doing the thing yesterday. Who knows where it's going to go for them? I think it's big. I think it's very forward-thinking. It used to be the gambling was, you can't talk gambling. Well, no, we've been doing Jimmy on our show for 5 years here, and I've known Jimmy for 30 years. You shouldn't talk fantasy football. What are you talking about? We shouldn't be doing fantasy football. Fantasy football and gambling, those are the two biggest things going in sports.
Yeah, the times have definitely changed with both of those.
Yeah, it's not taboo. That's my point. So, all right, on the other side, Goody at the Movies. And then we're going to get into Calais deciding to go to Jacksonville and Tony Jefferson going to Baltimore and some of the other free agent stuff. The 49ers are trying to get Kirk Cousins now. Or is it Kirk Cousins trying to get out of Washington because they're so dysfunctional? Got a bunch of NFL to get to and Ray Anderson in about 30 minutes, director of athletics for ASU. We are live outside the T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament. Our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats and all of their support through the years. Columbus Craft Meats, perfect time of year here in March Madness to have that tray, that plate put together with some high-end and really good food from Columbus Craft Meats. Back with Goody at the Movies after this timeout. Welcome back here in Las Vegas. We are just outside the T-Mobile Arena where ASU later today is going to be playing round 2 and U of A plays tonight. It is time for Goody at the Movies every Thursday. What is going on the big screen and other media stuff? And if Bill and I get around to movies because we get on tangents, it's fine. How are you, Bill?
Oh, I'm angry. I just went to a fast food place and it took 8 or 9 minutes to get my order. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but if you're in line and there are 4 cars in line in front of you, you've wasted, you know. So that's it's probably a good time to talk about criticism because I'm angry.
Well, let me ask you something. You're a man of fit shape. You could run a marathon today, right? What are you doing at a fast food? What are you doing in a fast food line at 9, you know, 10, 8, you know? What are you doing in a line in mid-morning? There's nothing good that comes out of a line in mid-morning. Am I right?
There's Crunchwrap. it's not for me. It's for my kids. It's even better. I'm like being a horrible parent.
No, that's good. That's good. As long as it's for the kids. All right, let's get into this. So, you know, I've seen all the King Kong stuff in the past, but Kong is coming out, Skull Island. You talk with Tom Huddleston. So this looks like predictable, that the boat sinks at the end type of thing. But is it? Is this good?
It's the thing that I read about it was it's big, dumb fun. And usually if I say that, usually if you say that the emphasis is on dumb, the emphasis on this one is on big. I mean, this is one impressive ape. It's the best actual Kong that I've ever seen. But the story ends up being just, you know, dumb, run of the mill, running around trying to save each other stuff. But it's got a really good cast. It's got Tom Hiddleston. It's got Brie Larson. I mean, she won an Oscar last year. It's got Samuel L. Jackson. It's got a lot of cool people doing that dumb running around. And it looks good. It's not going to, you know, every now and then there'll be a movie like this and they're like, this changes everything, you know, or something. This doesn't change anything. But it's fun.
I'm curious on this one. So if we go back and you watch the first King Kong that was ever made, now you see this one being made in 2017 because of CG, because of everything that's going on in technology, when they remake it 30 years from now, the Kong's got to like come through the screen, right? Like actually pick people up and rip their heads off rather than just swat at planes like the one from, what was the first one made, Bill? It was like 80 years ago, right?
It was 1933, I believe. 33. But the amazing thing is the first one's probably still the best. And it's got the stop motion animation and you're sitting there, and if you just see a little clip of it, you think, well, this looks hokey, you know, and this looks so old. But if you actually watch the movie, you forget all that after about 5 minutes. It's like, wow, this is really actually good. But the thing that I have never understood is, you know, King Kong is always, like, listed up there with, like, you know, Frankenstein's monster and Dracula and all these great movie monsters. And he never scared me that much. I mean, he's a big stupid ape. I mean, I know that I wouldn't want him walking down my street or anything, but... But generally speaking, if I didn't live, at least in that version, near the Empire State Building, or if I don't go to a South Pacific island so remote that it's never been discovered, I can pretty much avoid King Kong. You know, but those things, the insidious things like the vampires where your neighbor might be one, those are the ones that get to me.
All right, good to eat the movies. So let's switch gears over from that one to Last Laugh. Last Laugh, was this any good?
Last Laugh is good, and it's really interesting. It's like not your typical thing. It's a documentary about the Holocaust and humor, and it's like it's sort of, you know, it asks the questions like, is it always going to be too soon? Is it always going to be too much? Is it like the last taboo subject that comics can't touch because, as you know, comics are pretty much go anywhere. Right. And the answer turns out to be as difficult as. Whether, you know, what do you find funny? I mean, it's sort of like that. And it's got some great, you know, it's got your, people you'd expect, like Sarah Silverman and Gilbert Gottfried and people like that, but also Mel Brooks and guys like that. You know, Mel Brooks did The Producers, which was scandalous when it came out in 1967. Probably seems less so today. But it's fascinating. And some of the bits are actually really kind of funny in an odd way.
Mel Brooks,
90 something and still sharp as a tack. He's great to listen to. At one point he says, you know, Stalin was a nicer guy, but Hitler made me my money, so I'm going to stick with him.
Wow. Mel Brooks, that's amazing. All right. So, Last Laugh, then there's Last Word. Got a couple lasts this week you want to talk about.
Yeah, The Last Word is not as good, but it's interesting. Shirley MacLaine plays an old rich lady who doesn't have any friends, and her family's gotten away from her. And she reads an obit of some woman she hated, and it's very nice, and it talks about her being nice in the community. So she goes down to the local paper, which she's basically supported with by buying ads, and says, I'm going to write my own obit, and I want your obit writer to help me. And Amanda Seyfried is the obit writer. And it's, you know, from there it kind of turns into it started out, but it even turns into a bigger cliche. But the good thing is Shirley MacLaine is terrific in it. She's, you know, she's funny and she's mean and she's acerbic. And, you know, here she was on the Oscars, and that was kind of cool. And then her brother, Warren Beatty, makes a big splash at the Oscars in a different kind of way. So Shirley MacLaine is having her moment, as they say.
That's interesting. All right, Bill, I'll let you go off now. Appreciate your time. As always, we'll talk next week. Thanks.
I did. I just wanted to say that have fun in Vegas, and I like the delay, the slight delay when talking on the phone. It's sort of like when they were reporting from Iraq in 1991.
Hello, Bill. Yes. No, I got you. See you later. Right.
Have fun up there.
You got it. It was good at the movies. Bill Goody, chief film critic for Gannett. AZ Central joins us every week. So on this game today, it's at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk more about Oregon and the Ducks and also U of A's matchup with Colorado. Later on in the show, Ray Anderson will join us, athletic director at Arizona State. I saw Ray yesterday at the game. So far, it's been terrific up here in terms of basketball. The basketball has been great. Our coverage here in Las Vegas, brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats and our coverage in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.
All right, back here at the T-Mobile Arena, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks again to Goody at the Movies. Ray Anderson, Athletic Director of Arizona State, here in about 15 minutes outside the T-Mobile Arena. ASU plays Oregon, the number one seed, coming up at 1 o'clock Arizona time. And then tonight, it will be Arizona, the Wildcats, and Sean Miller's team taking on Colorado in their first matchup. Last night, USC eliminated Washington. In case you're wondering on that front, Washington, of course, with Markel Fultz, NBA bound in all likelihood, and we'll see LeVar Ball tonight, which will be fun. Our coverage here in Las Vegas is brought to you by the good people at Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate J.P. Patchett and his crew, Sam and company at Columbus Craft Meats here on location in Las Vegas, covering the Pac-12 tournament, doing the daily show, all the written content and content online, too, from our friends at Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats here in Las Vegas and the Pac-12 tournament. Columbus Craft Meats here in March Madness. The perfect idea, the perfect way to celebrate March and watching all the great games with Columbus Craft Meats. All right, so let's get into the Cardinals here a little bit. Calais leaves for Jacksonville. You know, there's two ways on the Cardinals' end. Well, Robert Kimdichie, next man up. We're going to hear about that. Calais is in. I have 14 million reasons why I'm going to Jacksonville. That's how much he's going to get paid, and well beyond that. Jacksonville is a team that is trying to grow. They want a good veteran leader. I think this is a smart acquisition on Jacksonville's part. And for the Cardinals' end of things, when you put a first-round pick on Robert Kimdichie, you've got to see him start to produce. Eric, is this, in your mind, you and I know Calais very, very well. We gave Calais his start in broadcast when he started this company, gave him his own show that we streamed and worked with him and all that stuff. Are you upset with Calais leaving Arizona for Jacksonville? Where are you at on this one?
Oh, selfishly, I would have loved to see him return, but I'm always into the fairy tale. A player starts with one team and ends with another. But I think it makes sense for the Cardinals to let him walk, especially at the reported $14.1 million per year he's going to get with Jacksonville. And Jacksonville is a team that they've got a lot of draft picks, and in the NFL, you can make yourself a pretty decent team relatively quickly, especially in the division that Jacksonville plays in. So I'm just okay with everything. But we're going to miss Calais. I mean, he's a guy that is into a lot more than just playing football. He wants to be a comedian. Yep. He does a ton of things with his foundation. He's been a staple in our community. But like you said, Brad, this thing was inevitable. He was going to leave. And now it's just a formality of making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, it sounds like.
Well, and I think I can't be upset at him because he's going to a place where they're not going to win. And he's going to say, yeah, I come here and we're going to win. They're not going to win right away. There's not a chance. By the time his career is done, I would think he's going to be out of the league. But he's going to go to a warm weather city on grass. It is the biggest deal down there, but it's Jacksonville. It's not like you're going to get any major endorsements out of going to Jacksonville. So he's making up with that through that with the money. He's done a nice job in building his brand and doing the stuff in the off season. Like you said, the comedian thing, but he's also written scripts. I think he's very, very close knit with his family, obviously.
Yep.
And beyond that, he's going to be a good example for those guys. That's a smart move by Jacksonville. We need some good veterans. We do not need dudes that are here purely for themselves. Calais Campbell's one of those guys. Would you put him in the Ring of Honor of the Arizona Cardinals when his day is done? Remember, this was a guy that came here for the Super Bowl team. It was drafted for the Super Bowl team. Gave a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears. Hosted a weekly show over at Marley's, did everything community relations-wise, was everything that you would want in a pro. Did they win big with Calais Campbell here? Well, what's your definition of big? They didn't win a Super Bowl, but with Calais Campbell, they ended up going to the NFC title game last year, a year ago, I should say. So is he a Ring of Honor guy? In my opinion, if you stack everything up, he is a Ring of Honor guy. You can't put too many people in. But give me a better guy off the field for the organization. Now, I like Darnell Dockett a lot, but Darnell took his shots at the organization at times because he's Darnell. That's who he was. But he never missed games. Calais, the same way. If you look at the number of games Calais Campbell played, He didn't miss many. Now, did he have the most production? Was he just a good player and you go on from there? Some people, I think like your reaction was, ooh, I think that one's going to be split. You know, that there's no way he's a Ring of Honor guy. Brad, are you kidding me? Or, yeah, if you take the whole body of work, I would at least consider him. Let me just go back on that one. I would at least have the conversation and vet it out in a room with others within the organization on him.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in your camp. And I just saw, I should let you know, Brad, on Twitter, it's looking like, according to Albert Breer, Chandler Jones, when the deal is done, it's expected to come in around $16.5 million per year for Chandler Jones.
Well, and so if you're looking at Calais getting $14 million, you can't tie up $30 million in two guys.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So, you know, if you're going to do the math, Chandler Jones is younger. Chandler Jones was productive last season.
As was Calais.
It's a part of the business. As was Calais, but... You know, go back on this one. The Tyrann Mathieu contract extension from last August. Do you think the organization, if their heart's heart, they looked at it and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't have gone that far with Tyrann Mathieu?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go that far with Patrick Peterson. You're going to go that far with Fitz. You're going to go that far with Carson. Down the road, you're going to have to go a long ways with David Johnson down the road. So if you're looking at the numbers that are being spent, it's pretty easy just to say, well, throw money here and throw money there. But $30 million to be tied up in just two guys, it's kind of like Zach Greinke is just one guy for the Diamondbacks having a third of their payroll tied up in just him. I mean, that's you can't do that. Tony Jefferson goes to Baltimore as well. More on that. But up next, Ray Anderson, director of athletics for Arizona State, is going to join me here in Las Vegas. Our coverage outside the T-Mobile Arena, ASU basketball today. Round number two against top seed Oregon. Tonight, U of A against Colorado. Our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats with March Madness here. Think Columbus Craft Meats. Ray Anderson is next. Back here at the T-Mobile Arena, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. They carry our show day in, day out. Appreciate the partnership with the Republic for the last 3 years. Our football show on Fox Sports Arizona, statewide in Arizona and New Mexico, and even here in Las Vegas. I saw it on the sports book yesterday. It's on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 14 airings per week year-round. Pro, college, high school, football, doesn't matter to me. Recruiting, a lot of recruiting that we do, and get a lot of feedback off the recruiting roundup that we do each week with our good buddy Jason Jewell and Jordan Hand. They do terrific work. ASU plays this afternoon at 1 Arizona time against number one seed Oregon, and then tonight U of A plays against Colorado. We'll be in on both games. Very much looking forward to seeing ASU against the top seed in the Ducks, and really like the job that Bobby Hurley is doing. With that said, yesterday, I'm watching the game, and I look up on the screen, and I see a fan jumping up and down as ASU is making a big run, and it happened to be the better half of Ray Anderson, who was on the screens. Ray, did you know this? Did you realize that Buffy was on the screens yesterday, VP of Athletics?
Well, you know, I looked up and saw my beautiful, smiling wife, Buffy, and our senior associate athletic director, Don Bakke, engaged in the game, and we did laugh and teased him last night. But yeah, I saw her beautiful face up on the screen.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how it's got to be. You have to have some fun with it. You were trying to play cool because you were in that shot too. I mean, I didn't see you look up even. You just laser focused.
I've got to pay attention to what Coach Hurley and the guys are doing on the court. How you doing, Brad?
Ray, I'm good. I really like where Bobby has the program. I mean, I've been in the Valley for over 20 years. I've seen a lot of times where it feels like the program is turning the corner, but it never does. And for the first time, I see some things getting done. Can you just give a state of the union? Yeah, it's easy the day after winning a first-round Pac-12 game, but just in all where you see Bobby in 2 years.
No, I think your assessment is correct. And when Bobby came in here, you know, one of the things we talked about is, you know, we'd have to reset and build a culture of higher expectations than we were operating under. And so one of the difficult things, given the competitor that he is to remind him that you're not going to be judged just on your one loss record. You're going to be judged on the culture and how you're growing the department into the competitive image that you want and that we want. So we see that happening across the board. It appears that people are reporting what they like is they like the new energy. They like the dedication. They like the tenacity. They like the culture that he's bringing to the basketball program. And so we see real progress. And as we're able to recruit and particularly get some of the big men in here, I think we need to be excited. And I know Bobby's excited about the way forward in the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cody Justice deserves some body armor having to go down low against Markkanen last week and yesterday and watching a kid like that just grow, a homegrown kid at Dobson High School that comes to ASU, and he this season, and I don't want to just focus on one kid because Trey has grown and Shannon's grown, but a local kid in Cody Justice who's done whatever it's taken to get the job done out on the floor.
No question, and Cody is, he is a true blue-collar performer. Whatever you have to do, including going up against those trees, and he's done a very good job given the height disadvantage. But then he's taken a leadership role out there. You know, he wants the ball in his hands at crunch time, but he does so unselfishly. So all of us in the Valley should be proud of what Cody continues to bring to our program.
All right, what are you expecting today? As the director of athletics, you're going to say win, of course. But what do you want to see out of your team in round two today against Oregon?
Well, obviously, we'd all like to win, but what we want to see is just continue to compete at a real hard level, a level where no one's ever out of it mentally, emotionally, physically, and I think that's what we get. So we're expecting a very competitive game, and who knows what could happen. Recall that they beat us up on their home court the last time we played, only 71-70 at their place. So we think it's a really good matchup, and that's why you play the game. We would love to win. Do we expect to win? You never know. We're going to be there intending to win, and then we'll let the chips fall where they may, as the cliche goes.
The state of the program in terms of the facility, where is Wells Fargo at? Because I run into ASU people, basketball fans, when I'm out speaking, and there's enthusiasm about what's going on, but their question is, how's the facility for basketball coming along? I know you get facility questions all the time, but specifically about Wells Fargo.
Yeah, we have to prioritize because, you know, facilities are a big investment and a big priority for us. So we have thinking about Wells Fargo sooner than later. I know that doesn't answer your question, but we want our fans to know that we are looking at Wells Fargo as a prime facility that we know people need to feel like, you know, we're going to be coming to a real top-notch facility sooner than later. So we're in some preliminary planning in terms of what that might look like. But we want our fans to know that we, too, understand that Wells Fargo needs a significant upgrade, and we're getting to it as quickly as we can.
Ray, would it have more seats or less seats if you could be a little bit, pull the curtain back on what the view is of that facility?
Yeah, I think ideally you'd probably want to reduce the seat capacity down some, exactly how much to be determined, to make it a more intimate, dynamic game in and game out venue. And so we would look to probably reduce capacity some, but make it a much more intimate and, very frankly, unfriendly place for opponents to come in because of the capacity. Hopefully we'll then create full venues every game with a lot of noise and a lot of opportunity for our fans to engage and make it, very frankly, an intimidating place for opponents to come in.
Would you have suites built into the lower levels to help you raise those funds and have those donors? Those are people I run into, and they're getting hit from all sides. Would you have suites built into this, Ray?
Well, in some design, you might have a handful of suites, yes, because some donors like that game experience. It gives them a chance to entertain and actually come and do business there and really kind of show off, and those are all good things. So the new design will, in my view at least, certainly have some upgraded amenities, including at least a handful of suites.
In terms of scheduling, you added Kansas, which is great. And I hear next year St. John's possibly up here. Xavier's another opponent. I mean, you've looked at the schedule from my view and in Bobby's run here. It feels like a priority, and the Kansas one is that the tip of the iceberg with majors, or is that enough of an iceberg? You don't want to overschedule, obviously, but is that enough for you in terms of major programs on your schedule each year?
Well, you know, we never put limitations on ourselves in terms of how good we can be or whether anything's enough. What I can tell you is that it is by design that we are going to schedule very aggressively in terms of non-conference, because first of all, we owe that to our student athletes who want to come and play elite competition. And then we certainly owe it to our fans to put the best schedule we can, home and away, in non-conference. And then in today's world, as you know, strength of schedule, RPI, yeah, is critically important into advancing into the postseason. So you put all of that together, and Bobby and the rest of our coaches across the sports understand that here at ASU, we want to schedule robust competitions, and particularly non-conference. We want the elite teams coming here, and we want to go and play elite teams. So the home and home with Kansas is just another example of the kind of scheduling philosophy we have. And, you know, we take our hats off to Bobby and Charlie and all of our coaches who understand we're going to schedule really tough non-conference opponents, because our student athletes and our fans, and very frankly, our own competitive spirits, deserve that.
Vice President of Athletics Ray Anderson, Athletic Director ASU with us. Brad Sussmat at the T-Mobile Arena out front. ASU Oregon this afternoon as at 1 o'clock Arizona time, round two of the Pac-12 tournament here on Sports360AZ.com. And we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Danny White comes back into the fold. I mentioned it to you briefly yesterday at halftime. If you can talk about Danny White coming back into Arizona State and what that's all about.
Danny White, anytime you can have the opportunity to bring Danny White into the fold, more formally back into the family, you do it. And that opportunity was presented to us. So Danny will come in with a dual role, first and foremost, to be a consultant to Todd Graham and the football program, and then also be a consultant to myself and others in development, really assist us as an ambassador in developing and giving the message and engaging folks to come back and be a part of not just Sun Devil Athletics, but Sun Devil Nation, i.e. the university overall. And so Danny's a great, great person, first and foremost, a great citizen of this whole community. So to bring him back to ASU as a member of our Sun Devil family, we're all giddy, as you might imagine, and excited to have such a fine guy back working with us on a more formal basis. Looking forward to it.
No, I think it's very good, and he's wanted to be involved for many, many years, and talking with him and knowing him well. And I think that's a terrific hire. Well, I'll let you go and get over here to the arena. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Ray. Thanks.
My pleasure, Brad. I'll see you over there.
You got it. There's Ray Anderson, Vice President of Athletics, Athletic Director, ASU. ASU and Oregon. I love big games. Now, you may say, Brad, it's going to be a big game in warm-ups and in tip-off. Anytime you have the top seed, and anytime the top seed is expected to go a long, long ways, you have that puncher's chance. And nobody's expecting them to win today. I think the line is 14. 14 on this game. And then tonight, U of A is just supposed to roll. U of A is supposed to meet UCLA tomorrow night. There's absolutely no excuse for Arizona to not win tonight. This is, you know, Colorado, this is a flea. You know, you're supposed to brush them off and move on. Our coverage here in Las Vegas brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats. Always good to have Columbus Craft Meats around the March Madness time of year, actually year-round. We appreciate their partnership, Columbus Craft Meats and J.P. Patchett. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're going to head on inside. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Great job, as always, by Jared to direct the ship. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of everything. We have lots of content up on our website, pro college and high school, things around the great state of Arizona. I'm going to be writing much more and on social media on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Make sure you support our sponsors. Without their support, we're not here doing things like this, which are pretty cool. So make sure you take care of those guys. We really appreciate their support through the years. Thanks for being with us.